Melachim Beis, Parak Yud Tes, Pasuk Lamed Vav, the last two psukim in the Parak. Perhaps I could have planned this better as far as timing goes. But Sanherif has been absolutely defeated. Lord Byron has talked about exactly what happened in great romantic prose in his verse as he talked about the destruction of Sanherif. Chizkiyahu had been assured that Sanherif was going to depart quickly. And exactly what happened. And also in the words of Yeshaya, that not a single arrow would be fired in Yerushalayim or a catapult. And so, this prediction, which must have seemed impossible, keep in mind, Shevna the traitor going over to the side of Ashur. And there's a lot of description in the Medrash and the Gemara that Shevna died in the chaos of what had happened that previous night. Rav Shakeh, the blasphemer, who may have been Chizkiyahu's own son. So it's been an emotional siege and a difficult siege. Sancheriv has gone home with his tail between his legs. Vayisa vayelech. And so he traveled and he went. Vayisa is an interesting phrase to use here. It's normally not the phrase used for a great military host. But he doesn't have a great military host anymore. Because they lay withered and strewn, as Lord Byron said, on the ground. Kifigarim, pigarim mesim, dead corpses, as the Nach had said. And so Vayisa, so he traveled as a solo traveler. Going on vacation, trying not to talk about anything that just happened. Vayoshav Sancheriv Melech Ashur, Vayeshav Beninevei. And Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, returned, and he went to Nineveh, to his great city. Remember what we know about Yonah HaNavi, and the incredible size of Nineveh, and Yonah is going to save Nineveh. Perhaps it makes even more sense that Yonah was so negative about Nineveh being saved through tshuva, considering that Nineveh is the city of Sancheriv, the great destroyer and the great egomaniac and the great blasphemer. So perhaps we can understand. It's along the lines, perhaps, imagine a Navi being told to go to Gaza and tell various terrorist groups that if they do tshuva, they'll all be saved. You know, your heart rebels against it, against going back to Berlin in 1950, to go to all those former Nazis and tell them, do tshuva or else. The city of Nineveh is the city of Sancheriv. The city of Sancheriv is the city of the murderer. So you can understand. Now he no longer has ambitions of destroying the Jewish people. He knows he can't do it. But at the same time, perhaps, he still thinks that there's a chance. And now there's no atheist in a foxhole. Now that everything has been destroyed. So he thinks, maybe I can go back and find divinity of my own to back me against this Jewish God. The death of everybody in a devastating night was too much for him to take. And by the way, the later historians all attribute it to strange things. Josephus reports the miracle in Antiquities as being a devastating plague overnight. Everybody got monkeypox. And that was the end of them. The historian Herodotus of Greece, who always was more than happy to try to make things seem of natural means rather than godly, in his version, field mice invade the Assyrian camp, gnaw their bowstrings and quivers and shield handles out of leather, and disarm the military force, and as a consequence, they die in battle because their equipment falls apart. Mice, you know, nice sophistry, like saying nature instead of God if you're a scientist today. But we all know the truth. So now, Lamed Zayin, last pasuk, Vayihihu mishtachav et beis nisroch Elohav. So where does Sancheriv go? He goes to the temple of his own God, the God Nisroch he goes to. And he's going to go bow down to try to seek some kind of divine help. Some say that the Avodah Zarah Nisroch was aboard from the original Teva of Noach, And Sancheriv thought, if that board saved Noach from the flood, it would save him too, which is an interesting concept. The Noach story is in all cultures all across the world. But the Adra Melech, the Shar Etzer Bonov, Hikohu Vacherev, as he's bowing down to his god, seeking some kind of divine approbation, his own two sons struck him down. Sounds like from the back with the sword. Cowards, patricide. Vehema Nimlatu Eretz Ararat. And maybe this is the Noach connection, and so they ran away to the land of Ararat, to Mount Ararat, modern-day Turkey. And there couldn't be king because they had murdered their own father and didn't have a public backing to be able to get away with such a thing. There was also two of them. But they killed their own father. Vayimloch Esar Hadon Beno Tachtov. And so instead, a third son, Esar Hadon, became king in the place of Sancheriv. Sancheriv is dead. Sancheriv's army is dead. Sancheriv's nation is just about dead. One of the great world powers of the ancient world is about to collapse and fall apart in the aftermath of the assassination of Sancheriv by the hands of his own sons. We have the Assyrian annals of Esar Hadon and report exactly this same idea that his two sons murdered him. But according to the Assyrian dating, it happened 20 years later, in 681 before the Common Era, 20 years after the great miracle where Yerushalayim was saved. The Jewish people then believe that Yerushalayim is impregnable and invulnerable, thanks to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved it so miraculously. They get overconfident. They believe that regardless of their merit or lack thereof, Hashem will always save Yerushalayim. It makes us feel extremely certain that the city could not be destroyed. Little do we know that a very small subject nation to Ashur named Bavel is about to begin to rise. Its rise is going to be unbelievably quick. It is going to become a huge world empire with practically no preparation time whatsoever. And they will be back. And they'll be back outside the gates of Yerushalayim. They'll be back before then. Chizkiah is going to meet with a delegation from Bavel in the next few parakim. And he's going to make some more mistakes as he is dealing with them then. So in fact, Chizkiah has been victorious, but at what price? There is a quote from the Duke of Wellington. There is nothing so dreadful. We're really quoting 1800, 1814 today. There is nothing so dreadful as a great victory except a great defeat. And another quote the same way backwards. Next to a battle lost, the greatest misery is a battle gained. When we win the battle, sometimes that can be our own undoing. And that's what's going to happen here. And it already started the night before the destruction of the entire Assyrian army, when Chizkiyahu is lying in bed, deathly ill, turns his face to the wall, and says, I don't want to daven.